Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Bounce to the point. Cronwall's drive absorbed by Rask.
This is the flagship station of the Boston Bruins.
Hawkshock into the slot. Back in. He scores!
Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's T&R.
Heard you like to party.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We probably talked enough about going to the bathroom, which for me is a lot. But I wanted to talk about this. I saw this on Deadspin. And is there anyone more... you can clear these, Nick. Is there anyone more... Any profession where people think they're more important than they are than high school football coach?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's right. Pretty bad. Like, I mean, it's if you've ever...
Other than radio. Right?
If you've ever seen Dazed and Confused, you remember the football coach? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that is every football coach that I ever had.
All right, so this guy coaches in the high-pressure world of Kansas high school athletics. I mean, anytime you have a job where you have to fake teach a science class... Like, you know, get over yourself a little bit.
Sure.
You can be a nice guy. You can be a leader of men. You can sit there and try to prepare people. That's fine. But you're a high school football coach. In fact, I hold the math teacher in higher esteem than I do the football coach. I mean, you're much more, you're responsible for the entire student body. The kids that play football, that's their choice. And it affects what percentage of the school. If they got 50 kids on a football team and there's 2,500 kids in the school, who gives a rat's ass about the high school coach? And by the way, how much money does that bring in? I mean, in high school. I mean, we've talked about this before, the ridiculousness in Texas where they build these minor league baseball facilities, essentially, that seat 10,000 people.
How much did Allen, Texas.
How much did that high school coach in Allen make? Because I remember it being like a big deal. Like, there's some high school football coach in Texas somewhere that makes like six figures, and it might even have been like $200,000.
He must be at a private school.
No. This is like, because I think that what happened was these different counties were fighting over this guy, and they have a huge place to fill, because you know it is back there. You would think it'd be a private school, but I don't think that was the case.
Yeah, well, they got to sell all the popcorn for the PTA. I'm sure it's a lot of pressure. So this a-hole, listen to this. First of all, if you look at the stands at the game, they'd be lucky if they have 300 people there. So they're playing in front of 300 people in Wichita, Kansas. And I don't even know where the school is, but it's in Kansas somewhere. So you have that pressure. And then, you know, the pressure of being on a television, public access television in Kansas, I'm sure is overwhelming as well. So this coach, Randy Drelling, they win the high school championship. They win it. They're state champions in high school. And the kids pick up an ice bucket and they pour it over his head. And he goes effing ballistic and starts pushing him around and yelling and screaming and pointing at him. And then he's interviewed after the game, and the kid finally, by the way, get interviewed after the game, which I believe was by an AV club of the high school, which is very exciting. And he said, "No, I don't do ice baths. I don't do ice baths." Shut up, you loser. He's like felt disrespected by the boys fooling around. Yeah, it's like, you know, even Nick Saban smiles after he wins. And that's a pressure cooker where you're making $5 billion a year and your football program is responsible, basically for wrong reasons, is responsible for funding that whole, you know, half the things that you're doing. It's responsible for the entire athletic program at Alabama. You know, I don't think men's basketball is...
baseball isn't a big winner either.
Yeah, I mean, they believe me, they build shrines to the baseball down there in the SEC and ACC. But can you... Like, what a hard-on... Like, who do you think you are doing that? What?
high school, you wanted salaries in Texas.
Yeah.
The highest paid, this is according to an article in the Austin American Statesman, five football coaches earned over $100,000 a year. The highest paid coach, $106,000. 27 Texas high school football coaches earn more than their respective principals at their school.
Okay, now I'm seeing something from the Star-Telegram from Fort Worth. It says, here are the salaries of the head high school football coaches at every 5A and 6A school in Texas. Austin Lake Travis coach Hank Carter is the highest paid coach in the state with an annual salary of $155,000.
Yeah.
28 coaches earn $120,000 or more, including five whose earnings top $130,000.
How much do teachers make there?
Probably about 40, 35 to 40.
I was seeing $34,000.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So I got to sit there and convince kids to learn that don't want to be there, and I have to sit there and deal with a quarter of the student body somewhere during, or maybe half the student body somewhere during the course of my career of 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have some jabroni that's responsible for teaching kids how to play football. And, you know, the vast majority.
Three times as much.
Right. And the vast, first of all, you're talking about a very incredibly small percentage of the kids at the school. Second of all, how many of those kids even play? And third, how much money can this possibly make you? Like, I know that you get these idiot donors that, you know, give $5 billion to go build a stadium in their name because they're maniacs and they go to watch high school football games that don't involve their children. So you're telling me that I'd quit. I mean, what are you going to do? If my kid went to a school where they paid three times as much or more to the football coach and not the teachers. My kid's not in school to play football. If he wants to play football, that's fine. My kid's in school because he's trying to get into stupid college.
Did I tell you that we were taken out of class when I was a freshman, the freshman football team?
This is the field story, right?
Yeah. We missed 3 full days of school to sod the new football field. Like the whole team, we just got to miss every class for 3 days to go out, and they didn't want to hire people to do it. So there were these giant pallets of grass, you know, the sod, and they're like, all right, you start at that end, this side of the team starts at this end, and by the time 3 days were over with, I missed Latin, science, every class for 3 straight days.
If I'm a public school, what the hell does it matter to me if the football team's any good? I mean, why would it matter to me? If I'm a public school, I'm funded by the state. I mean, it doesn't have any difference. If I'm a private school like stupid Detroit Country Day, I have to recruit a million kids. So we'll get in the news so people will pay an exorbitant amount of money to go to my stupid private school where you have to wear a dumb jacket to lunch. And you're not allowed to take it off in case someone comes by because Lord knows everyone would drop out if they saw you in a jacket. I mean, what's the incentive of having a good team? Wouldn't you rather have a mediocre team where a kid gets a chance to play than some pressure cooker dumb Texas thing?
You want
to
hear that, coach?
Yeah.
Okay, here he is. This is that coach you got all pissy about getting water dumped over, or whatever, his Gatorade dumped on his head.
No, not a fan of the ice bath. No, nobody ever gives me ice baths. That was a bad deal.
Yeah, okay.
You're on the field following winning the state championship, and that's your attitude? I mean, what a and this is me saying it. Me of the black heart and cold head. It's like, what a miserable prick you are. Like, not to take a moment. I mean, that's it. You've just done everything you can do. That's it.
You've reached the pinnacle, right? Yeah. You've reached the Mount Everest of your high school coaching career.
Yeah, there's literally nothing else you can do. That's it. You've done it. You've done it. There's nowhere up. You've done it. And to sit there and not take a moment of satisfaction, or maybe someone held a mirror up to him and showed him, this is your life. You're 60 years old yelling and pushing kids for dumping ice on you. I don't do ice baths. Really? Oh, well, that's a shame. You know how much those kids must hate this guy?
Oh, sure.
And by the way, another kid comes up from behind and pushes the kid that dumped the water on him.
As if to say, don't do that to him?
As if, like, where do you get off? So the whole joy of the moment for the kids is ruined.
Well, unless you knew that your coach hated ice like water baths, and he's been a prick to all season long.
Season's over, man. I'm a senior. No repercussions.
This is the one time that you can actually get back at your coach for being a prick.
Wouldn't you have... Okay, you don't like ice baths. Fine. But, you know, if you achieve something in life that's literally the pinnacle of your profession, maybe the ice bath doesn't bother you so much. Maybe you can take the cold water. I mean, these guys think they are something else. I'll tell you. Big pressure. Big pressure there in Wichita. Big pressure in Kansas. Got to show that you're a man. There's nothing else to do. So that's, say that kid's a senior and he dumped water on him. And so his memory of football is, we won the state champion and this guy was still a jackass. So there's no pleasing this prick. So, I mean, what's the point? Yeah, let's go to Mike. Go ahead. Mike.
Yes. Oh, so I'm from Massachusetts, moved to Texas. So one of the interesting things, I had the same reaction to you about Texas football coaches getting paid that much. It blew my mind. However, when I was involved with the program more, every Texas football coach is a certified teacher. They are either an athletic director or they teach gym or they teach something else. So they all get paid slightly less than the superintendent at their school district, just an FYI, because I had the same reaction as you.
Well, if they're a certified teacher, I'm sure they're investing a ton of time in the curriculum.
Yeah.
I mean, if
you teach typing.
But then again, I would say 60% of the teachers at my school had something that they did after school. They were either teaching a club or they're hosting a club, like the chess club or math club, or they
Talk
were like
driver's ed,
something like that. Yeah. Almost all of them didn't begin and end the day with just their class. There was always something afterwards.
My best friend's brother teaches gym at a massive school in Michigan, and he got paid like $8,000 to coach baseball, and he was like, it's not even worth it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even worth doing it. Like, he loves baseball. He's like, I'd rather coach my kids than stick around with these kids. I want to get away from them as soon as possible. Get dumb. Saban. Saban smiles for briefly, now only for a moment. Belichick, there's big pictures of him smiling. And it looks all weird.
It is strange. He has no days off to a bunch of people who took the day off to go see him.
Or just that's not going to resonate with people.
Well, it didn't.
Yeah, no days off is your thing. All right, we will be right back.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's Darvin at the middle of the line. Travis Darvin scores! There are at least four men in the stack, and Toronto scores first.
Kevin Miller was shaken up on the play before the goal was scored, Jack. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. It was the Tavares chance when Marner made a nice play from behind the goal line on his back end.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Be listening this morning at 9:30 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to be at the Garden this Thursday night when Rick Middleton's number 16 is raised to the rafters. Limited tickets for the Bruins New York Islanders still available at Ticketmaster.com/Bruins. That's coming up at 9:30 this morning. We were discussing this before the show, Rich, John, and I. Rick Middleton. Say what you want. Okay, great. You're retiring his number, but it's a very odd time in that it's been decades since the man played hockey.
He retired 30 years ago. And for a kid like me, my age growing up, I mean, Middleton was the guy. He had 7 years of great play, but he never made it to the Hall of Fame, scored over 400, just barely over 400 career goals. I think he had one or two seasons with 50 or more. But it is.
Why now?
That was the question I asked Fred and Dan O'Brien before we started. It is kind of odd that it's happening now. I mean,
random Thursday in November, after.
It's kind of strange. I mean, it's certainly worthy. He's one of the greats for the Bruins, but it should have happened a while ago.
All I know is that the one thing I will say about Thursday night's game is thank God it's not on opposite a Celtics game.
Yeah.
That has happened. And John, you actually looked it up because, Dan, our producer, looked it up.
Yeah.
This year, last year, there seemed to be a lot of games that were on the same night, Celtics and Bruins. But this year, it's almost laughable. Like, how many have we had in a row, Dan, just now?
Like six out of the last seven. But What's funny, though, Rich, is they're mostly on the road, too. So sometimes you get the conflict. One's at home, one's on the road. Bruins played 13 times in the month of November. 11 of them conflicted with Celtics games.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Now, in December, it drops from to 14 games and only six conflict.
Well, at least the Bruins, you know, when you thought things were going to go south pretty quick with Bergeron and Chara out, at least they've been playing their hearts out. I mean, they're an easy team to root for, obviously, and they've been able to keep their head above water. Last night was the first game, I think, without both of them where they didn't get a point. However, that might not have been the worst part because you had two guys getting nailed with pucks. Kevin Miller ended up leaving at the end of the first period after being hit in the neck. Now, that was a whole situation where they just wanted to make sure that he was breathing okay. Right. But I still can't even imagine just that panic that would set in for like the first 60 seconds after you get hit in the neck with a puck and you just can't breathe. I mean, so much so that they say he's going to be fine, but they brought him to the hospital overnight just to make sure that everything's okay.
Yeah, he's going to play next game.
But still, that's got to be a moment where you just flip out.
Well, you're a hockey player and you fight.
You can't breathe. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, well, you know, don't play hockey. I mean, maybe these are the things that are going to happen. But we were looking for DeBrusque, who it's not ridiculous to say this, is DeBrusque has been playing way better than he had been before he started calling in the show. So I thought, just for superstition purposes, as we know athletes, especially hockey players, incredibly superstitious, I was thinking that maybe he would call in today. He'd fight through everything because we were told very late last night he probably wasn't going to call in. So if he did call in today, we would have had the breaking news that DeBrusque was healthy enough to call, but he probably sleeping right now.
Yeah, he was supposed to call at 9:20, and obviously we don't have him on right now. So, I mean, cross your fingers. It's not supposed to be too bad. I mean, he got hit in the back of the head with a shot off of the stick of Denton Heinen, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, it didn't
from
look
about
pleasant.
10 feet away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if it looks to be bad or not. I mean, the chances are you're going to get a concussion from that. I mean, he's laying on the ice and takes a puck to the back of the head. I mean, you could get hit right in the helmet and
see, that's
10
the
feet
thing.
Away.
He skated over to the bench and stayed there,
right,
which led me to believe it wasn't that bad.
Well, yeah, but then again, people with concussions do things like that.
No, I understand,
sometimes.
But I was just immediately, it was really bad. That would have been it. He would have gone to the quiet room.
Okay, what happened is that he sat there for the rest of the game, and then he went to the locker room, and someone from the NHL grabbed him and took him to do tests.
Yep.
So, you know, maybe it wasn't obvious. I mean, he didn't stumble. What's the rule? I mean, it's got to be if you look drunk coming off the ice, right?
They probably saw him take a puck to the head, and they're like, we just want to make sure.
No, no, no. The NHL, that's different, but going into the quiet room is what happens when they take you
that's
directly.
During the game.
Yeah, they take you directly off the ice, and they put you in a quiet room to get looked at. And now, he wasn't probably showing any outward signs of a concussion at that very moment. But they enough that they didn't put him in again.
And at the moment, the way he's playing, it would be a huge loss for this team.
Well, there's only player on the ice right now.
There's only so much you can do.
I mean, they
got a kid that's was never in a million years supposed to be here, centering their first
Coleman
line.
Cave, yes.
Yeah, they've got that kid who I'd never heard of in my entire life.
Second period, there he is. I'm like, you got to be kidding. This is what it's come to.
Yeah, because Carlson has been crap. So they had to play this kid that I've never heard of in my entire life. And I followed the team closely, obviously.
Yep.
I've never heard of this kid in my entire life.
Yep.
Now
period.
He's centering. And by the way, being far more effective.
He played well.
Pastrnak had two goals and they got off to Schneid.
Now, was Lauzon the guy who scored but didn't score last night? The one where Jack Edwards called it a goal at first, and it looks like if you're watching it, but then he goes, optical illusion. I guess that wasn't a goal.
Yeah.
It had bounced off the post, I guess.
Edwards, and I don't blame him, but he says a lot of his stuff incorrectly.
He does. But, I mean, you know how tough it's got to be up in that booth and watch that puck that close.
One thing I know, I said that I understand, but he just does a lot. If you were watching that game, oh, boy, does Jack Edwards want you to get to that Rick Middleton number 16 ceremony.
Everyone get their nifty shirts. That was his nickname.
Yeah, and then he said, you know, get there early and be in your seat. Just, no, I don't want to get there early, Jack. like I bought tickets to the game. I think, you know what, I'm going to go with 1 minute left in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Get to your seats early. No, I won't get to my seats early. I don't like that. I don't like being told at an event I've purchased the tickets for my pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I'm the captain of the Rick Middleton fan club and they're letting me be involved in the ceremony.
By the way, this is pretty good news. So Casty did have an update on Carlo and McAvoy last night. Here's what I was going to say.
How are Charlie and Brandon progressing? Is there any chance of getting it back later in the week, perhaps?
No timeline right now. I'd say there is a chance, but I don't want to speculate whether they play this weekend. They're getting closer, I know that much, but what that means, I don't know yet.
I'll take it. I'll take it. Anything right now.
Well, they're with the team.
Yes. Yeah. But whether or not they're going to be actually on the ice and playing.
Well, they're with the team, so I would guess it's far sooner than later.
Yeah, Billy Jaffe seemed to think that Carlo was closer than McAvoy when he was sitting here.
Well, they're also probably protecting McAvoy like a Fabergé egg. I mean, they don't want to run that kid out and have him get worse in his condition in November. I mean, I guarantee you they'd both be playing if it was in March. But that's not the case.
I wonder how their ratings have been.
Bad.
They haven't been good?
I'm guessing.
Well, I mean, because they've been going up against the Celtics
almost every night. So it's not good for either of them.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And then it's football season.
Well, football season, I mean, that's unless it's on the same time as the game.
Right.
It was a Monday night game last night, for example.
If it's on a Thursday night, there's more people watching football than either of those two teams.
It's true.
Then if it's on a Sunday night, there's more people watching
either of those teams. There are four days out of the week that if you have a hockey game, you're more than likely going to lose audience.
Yeah.
Or a basketball game, you're more than likely going to lose audience.
I'd like to see locally what won. It's got to be Monday Night Football.
Well, no, Monday Night Football won, and also the Notre Dame played USC at night, and I bet you that one too.
Yep.
I mean, by far.
Speaking of football, we have our referee that's been assigned for the Patriots game this Sunday.
Give me some hockey league.
No, you don't get back-to-back games. You don't get back-to-back games. As fun as it would be for all of us to sit through a four-hour game.
Yeah, to sit through two
Sean Hockley's crew, had 19 combined accepted penalties on Sunday. The crew that the Patriots are going to get is the crew that refereed the game last night. Sean Rolstad, according to Mike Reese.
Rolstad.
Well, reason I bring that up is his crew only had 10 combined accepted penalties in last night's game.
That's what I've always said. Give me Rolstad.
Significantly less. I don't think we'll have the flag problem this Sunday.
Do you know how pissed you have to be if you're Marcus Mariota? So Marcus Mariota last night, I think, completes all but one pass. Like,
I think he completed, like, his first 18, 19, whatever it was.
Yeah, like, his completion percentage was utterly ridiculous. This is on the heels of what happened with Philip Rivers out in Los Angeles, who had a game almost identical to that.
It was, like, 25 of 26.
And you still lose by, what, 17 points last night? And you still end up getting your ass kicked. Oh, Vrabel. What happens, man? Once these teams beat the Patriots, it ruins them.
Think of all three teams.
Yep. I mean, look what happened, obviously.
Detroit has fallen off a table. We see what happened with Jacksonville, who looks like they're about ready to blow things up and start over again.
And now the Titans can't.
Now the Titans, the last 2 weeks.
They beat them, and then they get ruined.
Patricia's so popular in Detroit.
He's loved everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, and this is not a total resume of coaches that you'd want to. When Wayne Fonts is your best coach in 50 years, you got yourself some issues. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to be at the Garden this Thursday night. Get there early when Rick Middleton's number 16 is raised to the rafters. Limited tickets for Bruins. New York Islanders still available at Ticketmaster.com/Bruins. We have the stack coming up, Rich. What will we discuss?
The maker of the scary Terry Rozier shirts is in big trouble. No. On top of that, Manish Mehta, even after Rob Gronkowski came out there and scored a touchdown, still ripping on Mr. Gronk. And the Red Sox have had some mementos from their World Series run put into the Hall of Fame. John Wallach already lining up to buy a ticket.
That's right. Him and Roach are going to be, it's going to look like, what was that movie where everyone's sewn together?
the human centipede?
It looked like the human centipede with the two of them rushing to get in there.
That's a great visual.
Yeah. You and Roach.
All right.
You got to flip coin for who's in front and who's in back.
I know which one I'd vote for.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. We will be back in just a moment. Here are the headlines.
Thatcher and Rich.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
985 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The Stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
So the Red Sox are going to have some of the memorabilia from their legendary run to win the World Series put in the Baseball Hall of Fame. And some of the things that are on the list of what will be displayed, one of them being the banner, as a matter of fact.
Like, how do we have this? Like, nobody made this.
That's right. The one that fell off the truck that was trying to be hawked by. So,
you know, we got connections where we could have reached out to other sources.
It's going to be a tribute to the fan.
Of course it is.
Cooperstown, and they'll be like the two greatest fans of all time.
I think one of the best things that came out of those two guys, which, by the way, might be my favorite story of this past year. Like, when it comes to just news stories, the dudes who got the banner off the truck is perfect, was there was another video that came out that one of the guys recorded with his own phone while he was being interviewed. So it was like a director's cut. You know, sometimes they have that. There was this thing that was left out of the Boston Globe interview, which...
We did the right thing. We could have kept it. We could have put it on eBay. We could have, you know, we got connections where we could have reached out to other sources and got it.
You know, we know that my buddy works at the new casino that just opened.
Yeah, we're talking.
What's he going to do?
My buddy parks cars at the new casino. He's going to talk to Mr. Wynn.
Look, it's the banner that's not the real banner. It's the one that fell off the truck. Hey, after all, I mean,
my man had to run across three lanes of traffic.
Hang it on the wall and where gamblers won't look at it.
Well, you also could sell it on eBay and the shipping cost would be easy.
Tickets in October.
A banner
you
that
know what I'm saying?
Unfurls 50 feet. How do I get it to you?
Imagine just how out of shape you got to be to run out of breath by your fifth word. Tickets in October.
I think it's more of a situation of smoking 17 packs of cigarettes.
Three lanes of traffic.
Who's an actor that sounds like that?
Three lanes of traffic. Yeah, I mean, my man had to run across three lanes of traffic.
Oh, Ryan Lochte.
It does sound a little bit like Ryan Lochte. It does.
Three lanes. Tickets in October. You know what I'm saying?
Ja. Wasn't that his big word? Ja. Yeah,
it
was. He said he created it. Well, the things that are going to be the exhibit. How about David Price's World Series Game 5 jersey? Steve Pierce's Game 4 bat? All right, those all seem to make sense. And then it gets a little strange. Game-worn glasses used by Joe Kelly during the postseason. All right, cap and spikes worn by Red Sox pitcher Nathan Eovaldi throughout the World Series? Okay. The ball strike indicator used by home plate umpire Ted Barrett during Game 3.
God, the bear man.
Mm-hmm. A hoodie worn by Alex Cora during the World Series.
I hope it's scratch and sniff.
The bat used by Eduardo Nunez in Game 1 of the World Series. And how about the helmet worn by Brock Holt throughout the postseason, including his October 8th cycle against the Yankees?
All right, I can see the ball strike indicator for the extra inning game in, you know, that the Red Sox lost. I can kind of see that.
I need to get my hot hands on that.
Kind of see that.
It was touched by the umpire.
I'm thinking that, you know, the Hall of Fame just said, you know, give us whatever you got.
But how much for the thing the ump held?
So you could just wear it?
The little plastic ball and strike counter. They're very. I wonder if it would be possible to pass one off as the guy who was the ump.
How would you know? That's a good point.
Yeah. It's a little black thing with white dials.
It's a little worn. You know, the whoever the umpire was, like, got it for his son's Little League game, said, here, send him that one.
All right. I hope this is true. Peter, go ahead.
Hey, what's up? So, I didn't know, you know, I've been listening. I looked up this kid recently for the banner video, and I'm from the same city as him. He's a straight pharmaceutical dumpster. On the Mets at own clinic, just a mess.
Okay, well, we don't know anything about that.
Yeah,
we're not quite sure. I just got to sound like the teacher for the Peanuts was calling.
Yeah.
All I know is that I need
tickets in October.
Tickets in October.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? Well, the company that owns the rights to the Scream mask is suing the hell out of Terry Rozier for those Scary Terry shirts. You knew it was a matter of time, I guess. Okay, but here's the thing we didn't know, and we learned this during Media Day. When John and I were out there, I went up and we were interviewing Terry Rozier, and I noticed that I think it was on his arm, I saw the scream mask. Like, he had attached to the scream mask. And I believe I asked him, I said, oh, wow, did you get that after the whole Scary Terry thing? And he goes, no, here's the weird thing. I had that tattoo before any of that even happened.
That's right.
And maybe that's where it all came from. People saw the tattoo.
No, what happened is I think that there was the guy, one of the guys from Barstool Sports, like, was coming up nicknames, and they wanted to sell some T-shirts, and they came up with a couple nicknames, and they came up with Scary Terry, which I think is also from, what's the cartoon, Marty, the one that that does the riff of Rick and Morty. And so he said he liked Scary Terry, and they went with the mask logo. So now this company has gone after Terry. So according to this lawsuit that was filed in U.S. District Court, Easter Unlimited Incorporated, they're suing him for copyright and trademark infringement for his use of the mask. The company claims that Rozier knowingly printed the logo on his personalized clothing line without explicit permission or authorization from them.
I just like he has a clothing line. Hey, guy, that they only know you in one place.
By the way, there were ads all over the city at the beginning of the season for his Pumas that came out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, he's got his own line of Pumas right now. Which, yeah, but for a backup point guard.
No, but they do those small releases. I don't think it's that much of a big deal anymore. I mean, it's not like they're churning them out like Jordans. I mean, I think you can get a pretty small batch of shoes.
I don't know.
They're more collector's items.
To be a backup point guard and to be like the Terry Rozier Pumas?
Yeah, but if I also have the Robert Kraft, you know, Nike whatevers, and yeah, they make these small releases. I don't think that I don't think that you could go to Washington State and go into a store and buy Rozier's.
So they're saying that Rozier had received according to the lawsuit, a financial benefit directly attributable to infringements, specifically his use of the Scary Terry nickname paired with the Ghostface mask as his mascot. They said a large people have viewed and purchased the unlawful copies of the merchandise displaying the infringements. Now, the two things that this article that I was reading yesterday does not state is whether or not they're going after Barstool Sports, too, because I think they sold those shirts, right? And I think Terry Rozier got money from that, and how much money they're looking for. Like
$2 billion.
Yeah, right. I know. How strange is that? So I don't know. Who knows?
I don't know how those sold.
Yep. All right. So Rob Gronkowski is still getting crushed by Manish Mehta.
Yeah, it's not like Gronkowski went off
game. But he looked good, and he was a force. As far as you had to cover him. Now, yeah, I know
they didn't double him.
It was more the blocking.
His blocking was pretty damn good.
Yeah well, sure. No, he didn't. I mean, they didn't double him. They just put Jamal Adams on him. I mean, if you have a safety that's checking you one-on-one, that's not what they used to do. You used to have to double-team. In fact, if they double-teamed him, it wasn't much. Jamal Adams was all over him in that game and played him well. So this whole narrative that Gronkowski's the best and he's back is, I think, flawed.
Well, I mean, he scored a touchdown.
Oh, yeah, he scored a touchdown. So do a lot of people.
Made a great catch.
It's a 34-yard grab.
There aren't many tight ends that can make great catches like that. It was a circus catch in the end zone.
By the way, Brady, I think, is throwing some irresponsible passes to Rob Gronkowski. Like,
they forced the ball to him.
They forced it to him, but that's his career.
That's his career.
However,
you throw it up to Gronk and he makes a play.
Understood, but should that be his career right now?
Well, then he's not.
That's a different argument.
Well, yes. Yeah, but then there's no point in having him in the game.
Well, I mean, he still can catch ridiculous. But I mean,
he had three catches in the Jets game.
He did 54 yards, I think. 54 yards, three catches.
56 yards.
56. Ooh, I'm shorting him a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think that was a. I wonder if Herndon from the Jets had more. Oh, I have to go look at that.
I think Herndon had more catches.
Yeah,
he was certainly targeted more.
Yeah. So Herndon, next great tight end.
Well, Manish Mehta, after he starts ripping on him a little bit, does say, you know, Gronk's present on the field. However, did make an impact, even if he wasn't running away from defenders. You know, you talk about Adams. He said he went to go help Mo Claiborne on Gronk late in the third quarter, which freed up Julian Edelman for that 21-yard touchdown pass. So, I mean, his presence, just being there on the field, obviously is a massive benefit to the Patriots. But, I mean, You can't say that he's dead on arrival and he's weakened at Gronkies and then not have to write an article afterwards saying, well, maybe he's still quite as a little bit.
Herndon, by the way, who's a fourth round pick, rookie out of Miami, had seven catches for 57 yards. So now Herndon is back, baby. Look out for Herndon. he had a very similar game to Gronkowski. I just thought it was so funny that Gronkowski scored that touchdown. Everyone was like, Yeah.
No, he had made the end zone since game one.
He made a very good play.
Great
and
play.
That reminds people of what it used to be like.
Yeah. It's a trip down memory lane.
It was his first game back. Maybe things get a little better.
How about the running game? On. I mean, because of Rob Gronkowski's blocking.
I said that earlier. Gronk's blocking was really the story of that game. More so than his ability to catch passes.
If Dwayne Allen's in the game, you don't think he blocks as well?
Probably not.
Based on what?
You're talking about based on the fact that he is one of the, he's one of the best blocking tight ends that's out there.
I think Dwayne Allen
might be slow, but he's still a good blocker.
I think Gronk is considered a fabulous blocker as well as a good pass catching tight end. One of the reasons he is one of the best tight ends, if not the best, in the history of the game is that he blocks and paves the way for the running game to succeed as well.
All Dwayne Allen does is block.
I understand.
So you think that he's not capable of doing that?
I'm not saying he's not capable of it. I'm just telling you what Gronk's ability, what his skill set is.
All I'll tell you is this, is that ride this Herndon trade.
I got you.
Because he's the second coming.
I'm going to go pick him up in fantasy football. Hang on a second.
You should. I'll tell you that. That might be a career day for him that he had in that game. No, against Miami, he had 4 catches for 62 yards.
But a 7-catch day is a 7-catch day, my friend.
7-catch day is a 7-catch day.
Yep.
No question about it. Averaged 8 yards a catch.
Yep.
You know, didn't have
people
any...
forget all about Jeff Cumberland.
Yeah. Jeff Cumberland.
Mm-hmm. Come on. I get credit for random Jets tight ends for $200 here.
Jeff Cumberland was white, right? No.
No.
No, he wasn't.
No, he was not.
No.
No credit for the random Cumberland reference.
Did Cumberland ever start?
Yes, he did. The starter ahead of him, whose name escapes me now, got hurt.
Oh, that safety they took in the first round a couple years, or second round a couple years ago, that played like 4 games? Oh, they're awful. They're just terrible. Targeting Herndon 8 times in a game.
Yep.
All right, we'll be back. We'll find out what happens with
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.